This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. We've talked a number of times about local robotics teams on this program, but still little did I know that there were so darn many of them. And in a particular case, they're all, quite frankly, at least the ones that I know of in Knox County, have done really, really well. And they all did last weekend, in fact. In District 205, the Gale Elementary School Cougar Bots advanced to a state competition. Their robotics team did. The Knox County 4-H RoboStorm robotics team also advanced to a state competition this weekend. And probably the newest group of them all also is going to a state competition this weekend. And they're based out of Abingdon Avon's Middle School. And I'm pleased to talk to the coaches of that team. That's Katie and Bob Burgess, who are here in studio. Welcome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well,
thank you.
What's the name of the Abingdon Avon team again?
We are the Twister Bots.
I love that name. That's probably Twister Bots followed by RoboStorm team names I like. But talk to me a little bit about how you guys started. From what I understand, it just started this summer.
It did. Katie's dad has been doing this. Him and his wife have been doing this in East Peoria for about 14 years.
Okay.
He runs a Lego camp at a church camp up in Wisconsin.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And asked if we would like to do a Lego camp for the local kids in Abingdon. So Katie put the word out, and whoever wanted to show up could show up. And that's kind of how we got started, to see if there was any interest.
What did you all know about this sort of thing before you started this camp? And Katie, I hear you laughing because I'm afraid that the answer might have been not all that much.
Yeah, no, I knew very, very little about it. Like Bob said, my parents have been doing this for quite some time, so I've seen it happen before. And I was familiar with the type of robotic Lego EV3 program that they use. But and then also as a technology teacher, I've taught coding quite a bit over the years, but I've never really done actual robotics like this, or especially competitive robotics. So it was a pretty big learning curve. In terms of what all was involved and all the sort of administrative side of it as well. So.
I'm still kind of at the point where I understand Legos, but I don't understand making them into robots.
Yes, it's a very different thing. I mean, a lot of the kids are confused too because they think, oh, they're going to go in and build stuff with bricks. There's very little bricks involved. It's very more, or it's a lot more with these like sort of post and beam system. And then you've got your EV3 unit that's kind of the brain that you program to do different things. And
then multiple motors and sensors, some that lift, some that turn, some that drive. It is a massive amount of stuff that you would never think of Lego being.
What interested both of you about doing this and going forward? What was it about that robotics, that camp that you first put on that made you say, oh, we can put a team together?
Well, for me, I just really love seeing the kid who's into that kind of thing be celebrated in that way.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like when you go to these different things, it feels like a sporting event. You know, there's cheering and there's loud music and there's a lot of adrenaline and energy. And it's just a really cool thing to kind of promote that kid who doesn't, maybe they're not gifted in sports, but it's still like this really cool, exciting thing for them to do.
It's everything in, what's the term, the human drama of athletic competition without the athletics?
Yeah, like someone when we were there was kind of talking about how it's sort of like a sport of the brain, which is kind of, I mean, I guess a good way to think about it. So, you know, and kids don't really have to be just super smart. It's just a different way of thinking. So,
well, one of my coworkers, what got me interested in talking to you all specifically was one of our coworkers, well, two of our coworkers, Brian and Molly Prescott, have a kid on the team. And as Molly and I were talking about it the other day, I kept thinking about the, as you said, the brain power, and more specifically, it's seemingly the critical thinking skills that have to be developed in something like this. Bob?
Yeah, there's a lot of problem solving. So as far as the robot table goes, there are a lot of different missions. The robot table is like 4 foot by 8 foot, somewhere around there.
So basically, let me kind of have you back up here.
Sure.
Then maybe I should have gone into this first before I said critical thinking. But talk to me about what's in a typical day at a competition. Kind of walk me through some of that.
So ours worked out like this. We got there about 9 o'clock.
This past Saturday, and you were at a competition at John Deere
World Headquarters, actually.
Wow.
Along with 35 other teams.
Okay.
So there was four different things you're judged on. One is the robot itself. So you go into a robot, design deals. You tell them how the robot was designed, how you come up with your attachments, and show them the programming that you use to accomplish the certain tasks.
Are you building this on the spot?
No, it's already built.
Okay. And this is just the kids talking too. So the kids have to be using, it's some presentation skills that are not often practiced.
Yeah.
So they have to go up there. We can't prompt them at all. They just kind of have to start talking about this thing and explain it in a educated way.
For people who have done it for years. So
okay.
We have a robot presentation. So you describe your robot, how you come up with the design that you got, how you come up with the attachments you got. Then we also have the robot table game. So there are multiple tasks that Lego has assigned that your robot has to be able to do autonomously. We set it at a start point. We hit go on the robot. It goes out, does whatever it's supposed to do, and has to come back to home by itself. You're scored points on that. We also have a project. I don't know what they... An innovation project. So you had to do something this year that was good for the community.
Okay.
So that community could either be your local block, your city, your state, your country, the world. They didn't really care. So our innovation project was to, and all this is hypothetical,
mm-hmm.
is to take the Abingdon pottery and turn it into a community greenhouse.
Oh, wow.
So, and you have to put on a skit, essentially. You get 5 minutes to go in and present to them the problem, how you're going to solve it.
Okay.
And then you're judged also on core values. Katie, if you want to tell them about that.
Oh, sure. So they go in for a core values judging, which is also just completely student-driven. All these things are very student-driven. We just kind of have to sit back and watch and hope they say okay things. And we are in the room, so we can hear them say what they're saying. But when they go in for core values, they're pretty much talking about the six main values of the Lego, or not Lego, but the first organization, which is basically all revolves around this concept of gracious professionalism. Mm. So they want kids not only to, you know, learn how to make robots and program them, but they want them to kind of learn how to just be good people.
Yeah.
So they focus, let's see if I can say them all six. Mm. So we've got teamwork, discovery, inclusion, impact, fun.
That's five.
And
is it innovation?
Did we say innovation?
No.
Okay, and that one.
There you go.
Yeah. But so the kids have to go in front of these judges and kind of talk about these things and how they use them and how they're applied in their team. And
not just in Legos, but in life in general.
Yeah.
Right.
I love that message of it. So mm-hmm. that kind of takes me to the critical thinking skills
yes.
part of it. And especially from what I understand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you're from this competition on Saturday, and probably at a lot of competitions, you have something go wrong, and you have to immediately figure out how you're going to overcome that, right?
Yes.
Correct. So most of that happens with the robot table. So we perform, I think, six different missions on the table.
Okay.
If you look at our website, you can actually see a video of kind of how it works. But if the robot isn't lined up exactly right, or the attachments aren't set to the exact right thing, it will not work. So, like Molly Prescott's boy, Nick.
Oh, sure. Now out the kid.
Well,
I'm kidding. Yeah,
no, but he runs
that was this discussion about what happened with Nick.
Yes, he runs a very specific program that is probably the hardest one to do.
Yeah, he runs the hardest one.
And if it's even a quarter of an inch off, it just doesn't work. So, literally the first three times we ran it at the competition, it didn't work.
From what I understand in this particular instance, and if I've got something mixed up here, forgive me, they had to kind of build like a sort of a wall type of a thing or something that they had to keep from falling
So so the project he's doing, it's actually called the elevator and the steel structure.
Okay.
So what he has to do is he has to drive around 4 foot down the table. An elevator is almost like a pendulum. We flip it over. Then it has to go around the object it just flipped over. Turn left, go forward a certain distance, a very specific distance,
mm-hmm.
put a hook under the elevator and stand it up, or the steel structure and stand it up. And it's extremely wobbly. It is not designed to just be stood up and stay there. It flops over real easy.
Okay.
Yeah. That's and you don't get the points if it flops all the way over.
And you have to be in a very specific spot on it to even stand it up at all.
So they figured out a way to keep this from falling over.
Mm-hmm. And
from what
and
I understand, pretty magnificent fashion with how they did this.
Yeah.
We were the only team there, according to the table judges, that actually accomplished standing that structure up.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So
to a point to where a judge wasn't sure how to score you guys, right?
That was actually a different one of the missions.
Okay. Well, let me, I'll come back to that then in a second. So what happens here? Was this a situation where Nick had something go awry?
It wasn't lined up exact. I mean, it literally has to be within millimeters to start.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
millimeters here ends up being inches across the table.
Great. We're talking about the metric system. Right. Fantastic.
Well, we went right back into Imperial.
Yeah. And the thing that we always have to kind of come back to and remember is even though this is like, it is robotics and it is coding.
Yeah.
This is still a toy technically that we're dealing with. And so it isn't always going to be perfect. You know, sometimes the wheels might skid a little on the table or sometimes it's going to, you know, kind of jerk a little to one side or the other. And so we have to keep that mindset.
It may be a toy, but it's teaching important skills a lot of toys don't do.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Now Nick's is the hardest, but our second mission that we do is called a traffic lift. So there's this flat piece on the board that actually flips up to the right.
Mm-hmm.
We actually missed that twice. One of the easiest ones to do. Yeah. But because the arm that lifts it wasn't in the exact right position or the robot wasn't, it just didn't work.
But you're in a situation like that as a kid. The team really kind of has to come together mm-hmm. and sort of evaluate quickly, I imagine, what to do to fix that problem, right?
Yeah, and we were able to do that because we practice twice a week for a couple hours at a time with the robots and with all the other stuff. So, like, this has been going on since mid-September. We had to figure out how to build the robot, and then how to program the robot to do what we wanted it to do and what attachments we needed to do. A lot of trial and error.
So this team, kind of going back to the beginning here for a second, just started in the middle of September.
Literally started in the middle of September. We put out a...
I know the one at Gale has been around a little while, and we've talked to RoboStorm a couple of times over the last couple of years, but you really had to come together quickly.
Yeah, and quite a few of the kids were kids that attended that camp.
Oh, sure.
We did that camp back in June, I think. And they did similar things at the camp in June. And I think there's maybe four kids that, you know, and when we did the camp too, it was for a bigger gap or age gap of kids. We did all, like, fourth through eighth grade or something like that.
And our team is primarily junior high.
Yeah,
right?
It's just sixth, seventh, and eighth graders.
Okay.
So some of the kids kind of understood the concept a little bit, but they had they'd never done a real competition or really done this before.
They've never done a real competition, but from what Molly was telling me, your team pretty much read the rule book from cover to cover, right?
So, well, so like and that's, that. We got a lot of credit for, I mean, or they got a lot of good credit for that when they were judged because of their understanding of the rules.
Yeah, so our very first mission, when we looked this up when we first started, we looked on YouTube for ideas. And
you have a bunch of kids that probably grew up with YouTube. Right. That probably helped.
So, and one of the things we do is they give you these little buildings that are two stories and they're shaped like L's. On YouTube, everybody was stacking them up, making these real tall stacks, making them look neat and pushing them. And we said, that's what we're going to do because we want to be like everybody else. That seems to be what's working.
Yeah.
But then we looked into the rule books. And we found out that
you couldn't really do it that way.
You
can. It's just a lot more risky.
Yeah. It's way more risky, and it doesn't score as many points as we do. So we figured out the perfect square grid to, like, a big puzzle. We push them out. It takes about 7 seconds to get them where they need to be. We back up, and we score 145 points, which is
very high.
It's extremely high. That's the highest thing you can do on one
mission. Yeah, most of the missions are around 20 points.
So the first time the judges see this, they count it and there's no way that's correct. So they bring over another judge. No, that can't be right. And so then they brought in a head judge and he come over and he says, no, they read the rules. This is correct. So,
wow.
And this happened.
This happened a little even differently than what Molly was telling
you. It did.
You. They said they brought over one judge and they had to bring over two.
They brought over two, but then they did it all four times we were up. All four times because we had four different judges. All four times they brought the head judge over and said, no, they get the points.
Oh, my goodness.
And even when we went to robot presentation, those guys asked, how do you do it? We explained it to them. They said, that's not scored right. And we said, no, it is. And then they said, well, you need to talk to the head judge. Yeah. I said, we've already spoken to him twice. And he said, oh, you guys must have dug into the rule book. He said, yes, we did.
So nobody believed that your team did it that well.
Yeah.
No, well, we just made it so much easier than other teams tried to make it.
Okay.
The way these little pieces look make it seem like they should fit so great to make these tall towers. And so it's just kind of, you know, people, I think, thought it should be far more complicated than it really was. Okay. So I don't know. We just... I think with a lot of the stuff that we did, we just sort of said, okay, what's the simplest way to do this? Mm-hmm. And that was just how that one worked.
I'm a little short on time, so I'll kind of go toward the end here. So you have this, you just started this team. You get an invitation to go to state, which is some point next month, right?
Yes.
So how does that make you two feel?
Pretty excited.
And highly unexpected. I knew we would do well with the robot project. I had no doubt about that because we had went to a scrimmage a few weeks ago. And
which at that scrimmage, though, I wasn't confident, I think, until we went to the scrimmage, because I was just really hoping we weren't going to have everyone crying and sad after going to that. And then I realized, oh, wow, we actually do really well.
Our
that
robot
would be a pretty good life lesson. Crying and sad.
It was just exciting.
Our robot did so well. We got first at the scrimmage. So I knew that would be okay. But what that did was got all the kids' hopes up. Because, oh, we dominated that, we're going to do great. And I was like, oh, we could be in for some disappointment. But luckily for us, we won the robot challenge at the competition we were at and did extremely well in the other three aspects.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, since you were at John Deere's headquarters, you had John Deere people watching everything you and the other kids and the other teams were doing the whole time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of our kids even, I feel like, you know, living in Abingdon, Avon, they don't really get to see a world outside of that a whole lot. And so there's a couple kids even that just sort of commenting on the different things they saw in that building and, you know, even thinking about future things like, you know, if I do really well with this, maybe this is something that can get me into college one day and maybe I can work at a place like this one day. And so it's really exciting.
They actually had a question and answer period with judges, robot judges that were there, who now work for John Deere, who started out in Lego League.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's been going on that long?
It has.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I didn't even know it had been going on that
long. Our in-laws have been
doing
it for 14 years.
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
No.
Oh, my God. Where have I been? Well, then I guess that kind of, since I'm out of time, that leads me right to my last question here. Where was this when we were kids?
I don't know.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time on computers when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I would have ever been able to figure out something like developing and essentially building a robot and getting it to do really specific commands like that.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty neat.
Yeah. I have no, we probably should know that, but I'm not really sure when this really started, but I mean, it's definitely been around for quite a while based on the former employees who, you know, did it.
I'm guessing it didn't take much to get the school district on board with this, right?
Yeah, they were pretty excited even when we kind of did the robot camp. And I know they'd really like to see more robotics, you know, at the high school level. And we can really, Bob and I can really only do so much.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd really encourage anyone else to do it as an adult, a coach. It's super fun, but
I'm not doing it.
But it is a pretty huge time commitment.
You heard it here first. Yeah. Bob Burgess is retiring as a coach of the.
Oh, I'll continue to do junior high level stuff. I will not move on past that.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Probably more my skill level too these days.
Yeah.
But there you go. Well, Bob and Katie Burgess, do you know where you're going yet in January?
We're supposed to find out for sure on January 2nd.
Oh, okay.
So it'll either be at U of I or somewhere in Elgin.
Oh, good. One end of the state or the other.
Right. We're really hoping
we're
for the Champaign one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Bob and Katie Burgess, congratulations to you. This is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
and
thanks.
Thanks for coming in tonight. I appreciate
thank you.
It.
Thanks for having us.
And congratulations to all the other teams in District 205 and with Knox County 4-H as well. I'm thrilled, and I'm really just kind of tickled to death that so many of our kids across the whole county are doing so well with something like robotics. All I have to do is push a button, which will tell me we'll get to sports and business news and much more next on Galesburg's Evening News.